Hello, and welcome to another bonus episode of the Holistic Trauma Healing Podcast that is exclusively available to you as a Circle member. These episodes are a deeper dive down the holistic trauma healing rabbit hole. You will find yourself challenged, empowered, inspired, and maybe even a little bit uncomfortable. But remember, we're getting to the root of how trauma has affected every aspect of your existence, and that's not always quick or easy. By being part of the Trauma Healer Circle, you are already consciously creating your best possible reality and weaving a new web of life that isn't ruled by the past. I'm so honored you're in my circle. Hello, Circle members. Excited to be back with you for a March 2022 bonus episode. I don't know about you guys, but February was like a, it was a mood. February was a mood. It felt like February, there was some sort of energy that did not feel good in my body, like a buzzing, anxious kind of energy. My sleep was disrupted. And I did a poll on Instagram and I got more responses than I've ever gotten before. 66 people were saying they felt it too, and only 3 people said, nope, it's just you. So I don't know how February was for you, but it was a wild ride for me. And honestly, it's March 6th and I still feel like I'm recovering from February's energy or shifts or whatever was going on. I have no idea. Today's bonus episode, though, I think is going to be a fun one, although it may feel maybe a little bit heavy in your heart as you listen to it, because it may shine a really uncomfortable spotlight on some ways that the people in your life are out of alignment with who you are, and maybe they aren't for you. I know for me personally, I used to think that I was supposed to be for everyone and everyone was supposed to be for me, and that if I wasn't for someone or they weren't for me, that that meant there was something wrong or bad, or it meant I needed to change myself in some way to be more likable or to fit in better with them. And that's not a really healthy dynamic, as you know, of course. And for any fawn types out there, like, you can often find yourself sort of feeling torn between showing up as your authentic self and changing and modifying yourself to fit in, to please others, to be liked, to be accepted. So I recently had an experience where I had a relationship that sort of shone a spotlight on this for me as well. And I'm still in this relationship with this person. They're still my friend, but it gave me an opportunity to pause and really examine how my relationships, not only my marriage relationship, but also my friendships and some family relationships and even Instagram relationships that I've had, how I've held on to some of those relationships long past their expiration date. And it was because of fear. Fear of wanting to be liked, needing to be liked, needing to feel like I was accepted, needing to belong, needing to have the social clout that came with being friends or acquaintances with that person, like, whatever. And it got me thinking also about how the longer I've been on this, you know, air quotes, healing journey, whatever that means, right? The longer I've been on this healing journey, my own energetic frequency or vibration has raised. Like, I'm literally vibing higher than I was a year ago, or even 2 years ago, and especially 3 years ago. Like, I'm vibing so much higher. And that produces what I think can only be described as an organic falling away of the things and people and situations that aren't necessarily bad or wrong. They're just not in alignment anymore. And you're sort of faced with the decision, especially if you're practicing consciousness and awareness, you are faced with the decision of examining some of those relationships and people and situations and determining, like, is this person really for me? Are they my people? Like, do they have a place in my life, or does my ego need to hold on to this for some reason, or is there fear about letting this go? Have I outgrown this relationship? Have I outgrown this person? Or have we grown apart? Maybe that's a better way of putting it. Because I think like I've outgrown you sort of has a little bit of an air of superiority, but then at the same time, I'm like, no, that rings true in my body. Like there are definitely people who have chosen to stay where they are, to stay stuck, and I have grown, and now we are just no longer vibing, and they're not my people anymore, and that's okay. So I thought I would do a bonus episode that's 10 ways to know who's not for you. 10 ways to know, is this person for me, or am I really just trying to hold on to this person or to this relationship out of fear or obligation or guilt or shame or whatever that you perceive the consequence might be. So I'm just going to go through these and I'll talk about each one a little bit, but most of them are pretty straightforward and I think self-explanatory. So number one, they're not your people if they perceive your authenticity as a threat instead of a gift. And if I could only share one way for how to know if someone is for you or not, it would be this. If they perceive your authenticity as a threat and not a gift, they are not your people. If you cannot show up and be yourself, flaws and all, then, and this person, you know, the person doesn't think that's actually a gift, but it's a threat, then they're not your people. And this has probably been a source of the rejection that I've experienced most in my life, is people have tended to view my authenticity, my authentic expression, the way I speak up and use my voice, people have tended to view it as a threat, and it makes people uncomfortable. It rubs them the wrong way. It has been called everything from aggressive to abrasive to harsh to divisive to too much. And now I can see, because I've had enough of these experiences, I can see how that was a way that my ego successfully silenced me for the majority of my childhood. Is if I felt like I was too much, or if I felt misunderstood, or if I felt like I was being too blunt or too harsh, then I would shut myself up and I wouldn't express myself authentically. And I genuinely had myself convinced that it was because I cared about other people. And because I cared about other people, that meant I had to hide my authentic expression because it was a threat to them. And therefore, if I cared about them, then I would not express myself authentically because I didn't ever want to make anyone uncomfortable. And of course, that is another manifestation of fawning. So it never served me very well. It forced me to try to contort myself to fit inside the boxes that other people had for me, only because I was too afraid of being my authentic self because these people perceived my authenticity as a threat instead of as a gift. And I have made sure in my life now to make the conscious choice to only surround myself with people who see my authenticity as a gift. They want me to be me. They know that I am a gift. And my authenticity is not a threat to them. So, number one way to know who's not for you, if they perceive your authenticity as a threat instead of a gift. Number two, they're not for you or they're not your people if they can't handle your differences in beliefs, opinions, or choices. If the majority of the relationships in your life, or even if you just have a couple of relationships in your life, excuse me, where you are not allowed to express a difference in opinion or belief or choice without that person shaming you, blaming you, guilting you, even cocking like one eye up and in judgment towards you, then they're not your people. We are not required to only be friends or have partnerships with people who we agree with on everything. That would make our lives and our relationships very boring and mundane. The liveliness, the spunk in a relationship can often come from having differences in opinions and beliefs and choice and being able to discuss them openly without threat. Because then you gain new perspective that you didn't have before. The other person gains your perspective that they didn't have before. And the goal isn't necessarily for anyone to change their belief or their opinion or their choice. They might. And if they do, then that shows that they're a very teachable person, right? They're open and they're willing to learn. Or if they're not willing to change their perspective, at least they're willing to hear yours and see the validity in your perspective or your belief. But we've all seen this on social media, and I know because of the pandemic and other things that have happened in the last couple years in the world, particularly around like politics and the elections and COVID and all the things, that it is almost dangerous to express a difference in opinion or belief or choice with somebody, right? Like, you don't even know if you're allowed to say if you're vaccinated or not, depending on who you're around, because they might completely reject you or ridicule you because of your choice. And so I've just chosen to surround myself with people who we don't all believe the same thing. We don't all make the same choices. If you guys listen to my two regular podcast episodes with my best friend, Honor, you know, she is vaccinated and I am not. And it literally hasn't come up as a point of contention in our relationship because we can handle each other's difference in choice and belief and opinion, and it's not a threat. It doesn't have to be an issue in our relationship. I understand her perspective. She understands my perspective. We've made opposite choices, but we don't see either one of us as wrong. So they're not your people if they can't handle your differences in beliefs, opinions, or choices. And I think maybe I would add like point A to that would be if you find yourself needing to censor yourself in front of them, where you can't share a different belief, opinion, or choice because you know they can't handle it, then that would be another indicator that they're not your people as well. The next one, number three, they're not your people if they use shame or guilt to manipulate you into changing yourself. This has mostly happened for me with religious family members. So you know that I am a deconstructed and deconverted ex-evangelical Christian. I no longer identify with any religion, with Christianity, with any kind of belief that has a label. And I've had family members who have used guilt and shame to try to manipulate me into going back into my old faith, my old beliefs. And it just feels really icky in my body. And it's like, I don't want to have to defend myself because I know I'm not doing anything wrong. But at the same time, I sort of get that urge to need to defend myself because they think I'm doing something wrong. And some of the things that my in-laws, especially, and I love my in-laws dearly, you guys, I really do, but they have used guilt and shame tactics to try to manipulate David and me into coming back into the fold, as it were. You know, using things like, well, what are you going to teach your children? What about your children's salvation? That was a really big one. Those are just like a couple of examples, but there are a lot of examples I could give, and I really don't want to bash my in-laws on a podcast because I do love them dearly, but they have been people in my life, especially in the last 7 years, who have used guilt and shame to try to manipulate me into changing my mind or changing my choice. And so I love them. They're in my life because they're my in-laws, but we have created a lot more distance and separation in our relationship. There are a lot stronger boundaries than there used to be. Because I don't necessarily want to cut them out of my life. I want them to be in my life, but I don't want them to be in my life in a capacity where they feel like they have the freedom to use guilt or shame to manipulate me into changing. So that's my third one. Fourth one, they're not your people if you feel emotionally, mentally, or physically exhausted after being with them. This one is so important. It is so crucial that we learn to pay attention to how we feel when we're around other people. If you find yourself disassociating from your body when you're around someone and then you leave, you get home and you just feel completely exhausted, that's a sign that something is going on in that relationship that isn't serving you very well. And sure, maybe it's an invitation for you to practice dropping down into your body and seeing how you feel when you're around them, because maybe you honestly don't know, right? Maybe you're like, oh my gosh, I never thought about paying attention to how I feel in my body when I'm around certain people. So here's your invitation to do that. Start paying attention. Start noticing what you feel in your body. Start noticing how you feel in your body or your mind after you're around those people. And if you're consistently drained and exhausted, then you may need to set some energetic boundaries in those relationships. You may need to distance yourself. You may need to spend less time with those people, because the people who are your people, you may feel tired after you're with them. But in my experience, if they're your people, the reason you feel tired is because you stayed up too late laughing with them. Like, we had this experience a couple nights ago. We had some friends over for dinner. And normally when friends come over for dinner, they're gone by like 9 p.m. At 11, these people were still at our house and we were laughing so hard, we were crying. It was such a special experience. And so the only reason I was tired the next day wasn't because they were draining my energy. It was because I was having such a great time that they didn't go home and I didn't go to bed whenever I would normally go to bed. So I was more tired. So if that's the reason you feel tired after spending time with someone, then they're probably your people, because you're having a great time and it's good for you. But if you have that like, oh my gosh, I don't even know if I want to hang out with them, I just always feel so tired after I'm with them, that's a really good sign that they might not be your people. All right, here we are, halfway mark. Number five, they're not your people if you constantly second guess yourself around them or in response to them. I experienced this so much, and it's probably one of the more recent areas of awareness that I've had in some of my relationships. Sometimes in some of my relationships, before I share something with them, like if I'm going through something, even if I haven't talked to them about it, I find myself predicting how I think they're going to respond if I tell them. I don't know if that's making sense. And sort of like filtering how I'm going to share, or if I'm going to share, based on how I think they're going to react. Like, I know that might sound really confusing, and it is confusing. Like, it's confusing in my body. But it's because I've noticed that when I am around those people, I do second guess myself. I don't know if I can be fully authentic. And I don't have as many of these people in my life anymore, because as I said, I've intentionally, consciously created friendships and relationships where I can express myself fully and authentically. But I have still found myself around people, and even some of the people that I interact with on the internet, second guessing myself in response to what they're sharing. Second guess myself in response to maybe a post that they made that I feel might have been directed at me. In a passive aggressive kind of way. So if you know what I'm talking about, you know how that feels. You know how it feels to be like, oh, I mean, can I say this? Is this really my experience? Are they going to argue with me about this? Am I going to have to defend myself? Are they going to invalidate my experience? Are they going to validate my experience? I don't know. Like, if you're having that like frantic second guessing of yourself when you're around those people pretty consistently, like, I'm not saying that if you have it in your most close and deepest relationships, that means those people aren't for you. I'm saying if the overarching commonality or occurrence when you're with these people is a constant second guessing of yourself, then it might be an invitation to examine, is this person my person? Are they meant for me or not? Number six, they're not your people if your connection is primarily built on drama, gossip, problems, problem solving, or fear. So I think we've all had those relationships where anytime we're with that person, the conversation centers around problems. Maybe their problems. If they're not a very vulnerable or open person, it might center around your problems, or it might center around gossiping about somebody else's problems or perceived problems. If it's been during the pandemic, you might find yourself having a lot of fear-based conversations where people are really fearful and they're trying to you know, fix their fear by seeking certainty or reassurance or security from you. If there's a lot of drama in these relationships where you don't get along and then you have a big makeup and then you don't get along and you have a big makeup, sort of getting in that pattern. If that's what your connection is built on and it's not built on authenticity, vulnerability, honesty, open communication, boundaries, healthy things like that, then maybe they're not your people. So if your connection is built on the drama that you experience, gossiping about other people, always talking about problems, never talking about things that are positive, never being able to get past surface level stuff, like it's always surface level and you don't feel like you can go deep in the relationship because the conversation just isn't allowed to go that way, then they may not be your people. Number seven, they're not your people if they can't hold space for your emotions or emotional expression without making it about them. This one is a hard one because I have done this. I have been the person who couldn't hold space for someone else's emotions or expression of emotion because I thought it was about me and I couldn't distinguish between the two. And it was very threatening and uncomfortable for me. I have also been in relationships where I have tried to express my feelings or my emotions about something, and then they have turned around and made it about them. And they even making it like I'm attacking them, right? Like even if it has nothing to do with them, like I just want to be like, this isn't about you, you know, like just see this from a lens that doesn't put you in the center of this story because it's not about you. And I think it's okay to have relationships where that happens sometimes. And you can openly say, look, this isn't about you. Please don't make this about you. But if you can't say that, or if it's a consistent pattern where you try to share emotions or express yourself emotionally and they can't handle it and need to make it about them, that's a big red flag for someone who may not be your people. And, you know, I mean, you have the sovereign choice to decide if that's the kind of relationship you want because you may have a great relationship in other ways, right? I'm not saying that if you have a specific person in mind and you're ticking boxes off of this list that I'm making, I'm not trying to end anyone's friendships or partnerships or relationships, more just giving you ways to practice more awareness in your relationships and see how people make you feel and what the energy is and how you're able to express or not. So yeah, if they can't hold space for your emotions or emotional expression without making it about them, then they may not be your people. Number eight, they're not your people if they don't celebrate your wins with you. If you share a win and they immediately change the topic of the conversation, or they immediately turn it around and try to make it about them, then they may not be your people. Like, can they hold genuine joy and express their joy and their happiness for you when you have a win without being jealous, without showing envy, without trying to flip it around and make it about them, without trying to jump to another topic of conversation and distracting from your celebration or your win? Like, can they celebrate your wins with you? Everyone deserves relationships where you can have great, amazing things happen and your people will genuinely celebrate you and celebrate with you. And there isn't jealousy or envy or anger that you are having a win. Even if they're having a hard time, they can still celebrate your wins with you. Those are your people. Number nine, they're not your people if they consistently find ways to steer conversation and attention back to themselves and their issues. And this kind of goes along with number seven about not being able to hold space for your emotions without making it about them. But even if you're not expressing emotionally, I think we've all known people who, like, they cannot handle it if the conversation doesn't revolve around them. Their problems, their kids, their relationship, their job, their house, their projects, their issues. Like, if they're constantly finding ways to steer the attention back to themselves, you know, I'm not going to label that as like narcissism or anything like that. Like, some people just are genuinely uncomfortable holding other people's wins, pains, failures, feelings, and they're just more comfortable talking about themselves. I don't think that makes them have a personality disorder. But if you aren't able to kind of have equal time where you can share about yourself and they can share about themselves, and they're always steering the conversation or the attention back towards themselves, like that might not feel good in your body, you know? That might have you feeling exhausted emotionally or mentally after you've spent time with them. That might be a sign that the connection is based on drama and problems and problem solving rather than a deeper connection. So if they're consistently finding ways to steer the conversation and attention back to themselves and their issues, they might not be your people. And finally, they might not be your people if they're threatened and defensive when you share your feelings or needs in the relationship. This is a big one. I am so grateful for, first and foremost, my husband, and second of all, for my best friend, Honor, because these are two relationships that have had plenty of conflict. Like, I've definitely had conflict with my husband in the 20 years we've been together, and Honor has been my best friend for 7 years, and so you don't go that long having a friendship with someone that's really close without experiencing conflict. And I'm so grateful that in both of those relationships, I have been able to share my feelings or my needs, especially if they've hurt me or if I feel hurt by something they've done. Like, I don't think that they've ever intentionally hurt me, but sometimes they do things or say things and I feel hurt in response to it. And I'm so grateful that I've been able to share when I have pain or when my needs aren't being met. When I don't feel heard or seen, if they said or did something that rubbed me the wrong way. I'm so grateful that I have the containers of those two relationships because it sets a high, high bar for other relationships. And I know I can't have like inner circle level of intimacy with every single one of my relationships, but I am moving more in the direction of wanting more people that I can share anything and they're not going to feel threatened or defensive, especially if it's in response to something they're doing that may have been a hurt. So this goes for marriages, partnerships. This goes for relationships with your parents, especially if you're an adult, relationships with older adult children that you might have, friendships, all of them. Like, if you can't share your feelings or your needs in the relationship without them getting threatened and defensive, like, are you ever going to have a fruitful conversation? Are you ever going to feel resolved? Are you ever going to strengthen the bond of the relationship? I'm not sure that's possible. And then likewise, are you a person in a relationship who can handle others sharing their feelings or their hurts without you getting defensive? So are you being this person as well? And that goes without saying for all of these, but, you know, just to recap, like, you might not be for somebody if you perceive their authenticity as a threat instead of a gift. You might not be for somebody if you can't handle their differences in opinions, beliefs, or choice. You might not be someone if you use guilt and shame to manipulate those people into changing themselves. You might not be for someone if they feel emotionally, mentally, or physically exhausted after being around you. You may not be for someone if they're constantly second-guessing themselves around you or in response to you. You may not be for someone if the connection you share with this person is primarily built on drama, gossip, problems, problem-solving, fear. You might not be for someone if you can't hold space for their emotions or emotional expression without making it about you. You might not be for someone if you can't celebrate their wins with them. You might not be for someone if you consistently find ways to steer the conversation and the attention back to yourself and your issues. And you may not be for someone if they feel threatened and defensive. You may not be for someone if you get if you feel threatened and defensive when they share their feelings or needs about the relationship. Sorry, that was a mouthful. So yeah, these are just things to have awareness about in relationships, both in the relationships that you're looking for, are these people this for you? And in the relationships that you are part of, are you this for them? Because it goes both ways, right? So that's all I have for you today. Thank you so much for listening. I am just thrilled that you're part of my circle, and I will talk to you soon.